that brings another topic, which I'd love your insight on. You're a psychologist. You've been in the world of emotional growth as well as spiritual. I've since learned that they're two very, very separate things. One can have spiritual awakenings and not necessarily have their emotional world together. Do you have any insights on?
Well, when it's fully integrated, they're concordant. Mm-hmm. Spiritual vanity seems to be a serious problem, you know. And many of the big names around the world, they've fallen, crashed. The stories are sadly out there, you know. You see it happening to clergy and whole levels of Christianity. So it's like that which is threatened by truth seeks a leak in the dike and fuels you out. The Buddha described that as being attacked by the demons. Somebody says, you're the greatest. Is there a little flick of pride there or not? See? That the sermon has to be, yeah. What did he mean? What he meant was, I want you to notice that you still got a little bit of vanity about your achievements in the world, see? So it's a gift. Of Course in Miracles would say he's your teacher now. So your weaknesses are brought up for you to own and transcend, not to act out at the price of the integrity of your followers. Because the spirit in you, the self in you, is attracted by the self. It knows its own, and it pulls, see? Because the self wants to return to its source. Consciousness wants to return to its source. It's attracted by that which would be of assistance to that, which is integrous. I didn't read Huang Po and all those people because I wasn't interested in spirituality. I read them because I was, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you're attracted to them because they're just farther along the path. So if I want to climb Mount Everest, I want a handbook by somebody who's been there. I want to take along a guide. I want to follow, and I want instructions before I leave, you know. The dereliction of many spiritual teachers is they don't warn the students of the traps along the way. And therefore, one of the things I've tried to do, I warn them about 850, the void, big trap there. People at a lesser level, I warn them about falling, owning the cities as though they're your power. It's not your power, for God's sake. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, what do you think there anyway? So the spiritual teacher's responsibility is to forewarn of the errors that could occur in the traps. Seduction of vanity, seduction of misinterpreting spiritual love as personal love, falling for money and all those things. Think the cities are your power, you know. They're not your power. They last for some years, and they're marvelous and wondrous to behold. But it's not you causing the apple to fall from the tree. Mm-hmm. That's the power of gravity. Mm-hmm. See? Mm-hmm. So when you witness the miraculous, Susan and I witnessed the miraculous, and you see the miraculous happen right in front of you, that's because karmically this apple is ready to fall from the tree, and the gravity of the presence of God is what accomplishes it. The you're just an antenna. You're just
just a conduit.
Yeah, that's it. So at the same time, spiritual reality requires that you do declare the truth of that which is within. You don't deny it either. It is a condition. It is a state. And when the ego state disappears, it reveals the natural state, which like the sun shines forth. So the pursuit of the spiritual truth is like removal of the clouds. It's not a gain. It's removing the obstacles. And as you do, the sun shines forth spontaneously of its own effulgence. So there's no one to claim credit for it. You can't claim credit that you're making the sun rays shine, you know what I'm saying?